tips.
It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company bringing you nutritional information that will make a difference in your health. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I really appreciate that you tuned in this morning. And today we will be addressing some cholesterol facts based on scientific research and also some cholesterol myths that were based on misdirected theories about cholesterol from the 1950s. And I'm pleased to welcome Cassie Wienus as our co-host. Cassie is a registered dietitian. She sees our clients in White Zetter office, and she teaches many of our nutrition classes for business and professional groups. And good morning to you.
Good morning. You know, you're going to get me on my soapbox, nutritional myths. There are sure a lot of them. But before I step up on that soapbox, good morning to my two biggest fans. Good morning, Riley. Good morning, Rissa. You two have a fun daddy day. You know, when we talk about myths, Star, the nutritional myth that I see that might be one of the most detrimental and that certainly is very prevalent is that diet pop is okay to drink because it doesn't have any calories.
Isn't it amazing that that myth is still out there?
You know, and I'm ashamed to say that I was preaching that and living that, and for whatever reason, never stepped back to question, how could this be healthy when I can't pronounce the ingredients in this product? But I still hear of dietitians, government health professionals, medical staff recommending and drinking the diet soda themselves, even encouraging people sometimes to switch from the full octane pop to the diet pop because you'll save on those calories.
I mean, we hear that all the time, don't we? I mean, people hear it, I think.
And I was doing it. I'm having flashbacks. If you're trying to lose weight and you're drinking Mountain Dew, why don't you at least switch to the diet?
Yes.
And think of how many people I probably got addicted.
But so what? So I bet people are driving along this morning as they say, well, no, come on, Cassie, what is wrong
what's
with...
What's so wrong, yeah, right? Well, I exactly. always say the research finally caught up with you, Dar. This is what I tell my clients. Because Dar has been saying this for decades, but... Research came out last year saying that people that drink just one soda or more a day have a 35% higher risk of obesity, of heart disease, and of diabetes than those people that don't drink soda. And with this particular research, it didn't matter if it was the diet or the regular stuff. Both had a 35% higher risk, again, of obesity, heart disease, and diabetes. And this research came right out of the Twin Cities here
exactly.
at the U of M. So we're talking about independent university research, nothing that was financially supported by a food company.
I love that research when it finally came out.
Oh, well, because then you had the hard facts
yes,
to tell
I
the
know
people.
It. We had the hard facts. So we will quote that research forever, I bet.
Yes.
You know, this myth about soda has even reached our federal tax the bureau right now because there's a 3-cent tax being proposed on soda. And that was in the news this week. But guess what? It's only on sugar or high fructose corn syrup soda, not on diet soda. Because again, recommendations are being made on these nutritional myths. They think that diet is okay. And the reality check on this one is diet soda is no more, you know, it's no better. In fact, it's more addicting.
Oh, I've been there.
And
more
truly
addicting.
More harmful.
Mm-hmm.
And both should be taxed.
Yes.
And with lots of tax. And, you know, it would be a way for everyone to pay off our debts.
Because we have a lot of debt. Yeah, lots of debt.
You know, because we talked about the week of Easter where one Cubs store in this Twin City area sold 24,000 cases of soda in 1 week. For, you know, the week of Easter. Oh, you missed that one.
I missed that one. And we did not drink soda on Easter. So somebody else was buying up. Oh, my gosh. Well, and, you know, I'm sure there's some listeners that would like some bullet points here of why is pop so bad, whether it's the regular or the diet. So first of all, it slows down your metabolism. And that's the research. So no wonder why it leads to obesity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And The pop increases blood sugars. That leads to insulin resistance over a period of time, and that eventually could lead to diabetes.
Now, I'm thinking people will sit back and say, yeah, but diet pop is not supposed to do that, Cassie. But we know clients that are diabetic, if they take their blood sugars, drink a diet soda, for most of them, their blood sugars will go up, will increase. Mm-hmm. And we see it, you know, time and time again with real clients, and this is what happens.
Mm-hmm. That have the glucose meters. So,
yes.
Yep.
So we also know that it causes inflammation in people's body. It leads to more aches and pains. And again, it increases people's blood pressure because it's got a lot of sodium and other chemicals that stress the kidneys, chemicals that most of us can't pronounce.
Yeah, yeah. That reminds me of when my mom went to Europe, and I know I've mentioned that before, but stopped her diet pop because it was very expensive over there. And she didn't have to take her Tylenol arthritis the whole time. And she was there for 11 days.
Okay. So it, honestly, just really
connect the dots,
yep,
right?
Right. That's right. Connect the dots.
And that pop for many, many people will lead to intestinal bloating and gas. So if you're having those symptoms and you're doing pop regularly, maybe it's as simple as cutting that out.
And diet pop affects your dopamine receptors. Those are those little neurotransmitter receptors. And when those are affected, people will have more mood swings, more depression, more addiction issues. Mm-hmm. So not good.
Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure we could go on here if we wanted to, but the bottom line is we want to stop that myth that diet pop is healthy.
Exactly. So many people are addicted, you know, so it's like if you have one, maybe once a week, then suddenly you're having one every day, and suddenly you're having two every day, and then suddenly you're having three or four every day. So for most people, it is very addicting for, you know.
Especially that diet soda. And, you know, and I've told the listeners this before, but when I started here at Nutritional Weight and Wellness a little over two years ago, I was doing Diet Pepsi every day, a couple cans a day. And I wasn't having the health effects yet, but reading the third-party research, listening to you, I knew I had to give it up. And it was hard. And it took me a month. It was just slowly coming off of it. But there are some people that their biochemistry just isn't going to allow them to give it up on their own.
That's right.
You know, and that's nothing against them. It has nothing to do with willpower. It's your biochemistry. And so Dar, a few years back, formulated a supplement that we have had great success with. It's called Crave Control Plus. And where we see it used most often and with the most success is people that want to kick that diet soda habit. And it's really just a simple, natural supplement that supports positive brain chemistry.
Actually, the brain support comes from the amino acids, and those amino acids that are in that product called Crave Control, they actually come from meat, I mean, or dairy products.
Mm-hmm.
And it eases those cravings and it eases the withdrawal. So I find that for most people that want to get off a diet pop, they need to take Crave Control Plus for maybe 2 weeks at the most. And then they don't really need it after that. And then they're free of the habit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then they can move on with their life.
Just to get them over that hump. And then when you go back and try it, it doesn't taste good at all. I've done that before. And you're like, why did I ever like this?
That's right.
So if you tuned in today to learn about cholesterol, we started the show out about Diet Pop or about the Diet Pop myth, because cholesterol is another topic in nutrition that has many myths surrounding it.
I think, Cassie, don't you believe that we get more questions and concerns and even fears about cholesterol than any other topic that we talk about?
Absolutely.
So I want to really clear up some of these myths about cholesterol today.
Okay, so here's one I hear all the time. I shouldn't eat eggs because eggs will make my cholesterol go up. I still haven't convinced my mom that she should be doing eggs every day, right? Because the doctor's telling her, oh, no, 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 no.
So what are the truths about eggs and cholesterol? You know, first, the chickens that are roaming outside eating grass, they are high in omega-3 fatty acids, which omega-3s have been found to lower cholesterol.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes. So it is absolutely true that eggs can actually help you lower your cholesterol. And I try to assure my clients by telling them we do eggs every day in our house. And my husband, we're working right now on bringing down his cholesterol, and he comes from a family history of high cholesterol. But I have all the confidence in the world that those eggs are helping us reach our healthy goal. So, and we see that time and again clinically. And it makes perfect sense when you understand the biochemistry of cholesterol. most of the cholesterol that we have in our cells, in our body, is made from our own liver. More than 80% of our cholesterol numbers come from cholesterol that our liver makes, not from the cholesterol found in the foods that we're eating.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure if you grew up hearing you can't eat eggs because it will cause a heart attack, you're wondering, how in the world did this myth ever get started? Well, it was not based on research. It was based on a theory from a doctor right here at the University of Minnesota. He thought cholesterol and fat in foods would turn your cholesterol or would make cholesterol in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out his theory was actually wrong. Cholesterol is made in your liver. So if you have a higher than normal cholesterol reading, you have to ask your liver, hey, liver, hey, why are you making more cholesterol?
Right.
So talk to your liver.
Right. Well, seriously, because our body's doing that for a reason.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
That's our repair mechanism, that cholesterol. And so something is damaged. You know, I'm sure a lot of the listeners, certainly the regular listeners, have heard the story about Larry. We've had his wife on the show in the past. But Larry, after taking just 1 2-hour class in South St. Paul called Jumpstart Your Metabolism, he changed his eating from the fat-free stuff or the low-fat, the cereal, the bagels. He changed to having eggs cooked in butter, lots more vegetables. He dropped his cholesterol number from 240 to 160 in just 5 weeks. That just, every time I hear that story, I am still just flabbergasted.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is without any medication, just using the power of real food.
But, you know, the true test in this is, 5 or 6 years later, Larry's cholesterol numbers are still even lower, no medication. So it wasn't just a 5-week fluke. And also, besides that, he's lost a lot of weight, but that was a side benefit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, the other more important cardiovascular risk for Larry was his triglycerides.
Yes.
They were sky high. They were 1,600.
That's a heart attack waiting to happen.
It was. And so in 5 weeks, he dropped those down to 220 in 5 weeks. So you know that he was eating a lot of bagels and sugar and cereals.
Yes,
and
because
things.
Those will drive the triglycerides up real fast. Right. Well, we see examples like this often. It's not just Larry. And I have another example of a client. This particular client I had was a female in her mid-50s. She started with a cholesterol number at 273, total cholesterol. Within 3 months, her total cholesterol dropped 74 points, so now she was down to 199. But more importantly, her LDL cholesterol, which a lot of people will call the bad cholesterol, dropped, and her good cholesterol, her HDL, increased. And probably to her, the best part of it was she was eating eggs cooked in butter and loving the flavor. She had more energy. She said that brain fog was gone. She was able to focus better. And she even lost weight through all of this with all those eggs and all that good butter and real cream because she wasn't having those up and down blood sugars. She wasn't hungry.
Right. So, Cassie, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, providing life-changing nutrition information. You know, if your LDL is elevated, what nutritional strategies can you use to lower it? Well, you know, the first thing is reduce your processed carb intake. Eliminate the cereals, the popcorn, the bagels, the candy bars. Mm. Stop drinking soda.
Please.
Eliminate or reduce, but I think eliminate, Skippy peanut butter, margarine, crackers. And stop those frozen meals, you know, those healthy choices, those Weight Watchers, those lean cuisines, or any of the other worse ones. Most of those things contain processed carbs and trans fats. And so when we come back from break, Cassie will share some key supplements to help you reduce your LDL cholesterol. So questions today, 651-641-1071.
Living life out loud on FM 107.1.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienis, registered dietitian, and I'm here with Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and we're talking about how to avoid unhealthy cholesterol numbers. Now, if you were listening before break, Dar said I would share some key nutrients that we use in clinical practice to help achieve good LDL cholesterol numbers. First of all, always add omega-3 fish oil. And we typically recommend somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 milligrams per day. Secondly, reduce or eliminate the alcohol consumption, if that's a factor, and reduce or eliminate excess sugar, whether that's in the form of, you know, chips, granola bars, or if it's the obvious things like hard candy and frosted donuts. Especially stay away from that high fructose corn syrup. And then third, add a supplement called Cardioxin. Cardioxin was formulated right here in the cities at the University of Minnesota, and our clients have had great success in reducing their LDL cholesterol numbers without a statin drug by using this natural supplement. Usually two capsules in the morning and two in the evening, and we've had people drop their LDL numbers between 40 and 60 points in just a few weeks. And no side effects like you can get with those statin drugs.
And often people, after they've been on Cardioxin for, you know, maybe a couple of 3-4 months, they can actually drop their dosage down so that they're only taking two a day.
More of a maintenance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So we have some callers this morning. Good morning, Jennifer. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Good morning. Thanks so much for taking my call. I just wanted to call and share my enthusiasm. I finally weaned myself off diet soda after 3 years of being addicted, knowing full well, listening to you guys every week, and I work in a dental office. I know what diet pop
does
to the teeth. It's so much worse than anything that you can put in your mouth. And it's interesting, a patient last week came in, and she says, I don't understand what's going wrong with my teeth. For the last 5 years, my teeth have been falling apart. And I said, well, have you been eating anything differently? She goes, well, I was diagnosed with diabetes 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you happen to drink diet soda? Yeah, my doctor encouraged me to start drinking diet soda.
Yes.
Right. Boom, right there. The acid is so strong in diet soda. They add more acid, a lot of the citric acids and different acids they put in there. It's like, I can't even describe what it does to teeth. It's terrible.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely terrible. So
we appreciate this call.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, again, you know, we look at it from a different avenue, like what it does to your blood sugars and all the other things. But looking at your teeth.
Very important, too.
And the fact, again, we keep saying there's so many people that are still recommending that. And I don't know. I can't believe that they don't know this research.
It's sad that doctors out there don't know that, especially with bone health, too.
Exactly.
It's so hard on your bones.
Oh, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons we have this epidemic of osteoporosis.
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely. So thanks again for talking about Diet Pop today. I get so excited because I'm finally off of it. So
good job.
Congratulations.
That was no easy feat.
No, it wasn't. So thank you for Jennifer for calling us this morning. Great.
Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye. So let's take just one more caller here. And good morning, Rachel. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. I was wondering if you've ever heard of skinny water.
I have not.
Okay. So, yeah, it's actually from the East Coast, and I think it's on the line of vitamin water.
Okay.
And it's got sucralose in it.
Okay. Well, that's an artificial sweetener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I swear I've gained weight since I've been drinking this stuff.
Uh-huh.
I never drank diet soda, but I'm convinced it's either really not got sucralose and has sugar, or something else is going on.
Well, you know, Rachel, one of the things that they found about sucralose is that it, for some people, it interferes with how iodine is taken in by your thyroid. And so it can actually affect how your thyroid functions. And so, again, that could be the connection if you have actually gained weight. And we know that, again, that's another one of those epidemic problems that we have is thyroid issues, and you can see why.
I do have a goiter.
Okay, well, you should not be taking that in at all, because you need every bit of iodine you need. You know, that's why you have a goiter. It's because you have low iodine. So if you're doing sea salt, you need to make sure that you're doing sea salt that has extra iodine added to it. So Very good call, and we really appreciate
it. Thank you. Yeah, there's always new products coming out that we have to stay on top of.
Thanks a lot for the call. So let's go back to our topic again, Cassie.
Yes.
You know, you were talking about about the fact that your client was cooking the eggs and butter and everything.
Yep.
But, you know, I see this all the time on TV. They're advertising this product called, I can't believe it's not butter, making people think that it's okay. But actually, it's, again, got trans fats in. So I bet if your client had been cooking the eggs in, I can't believe it's not butter, or another form of margarine, mm-hmm. or even Crisco,
mm-hmm.
you know, that your client would be in trouble with her cholesterol.
This actually happened to my mom many years back now. She started doing eggs every morning. I'm having this flashback. And I was young. I was in high school. And her cholesterol went up. And so she cut that out.
Yes.
And I've since reasoned with her. And I said, but mom, remember what she would do? She would spread margarine on toast and dip the toast in the liquidy egg.
Mm-hmm.
So she was increasing her bad fat intake with that margarine on the toast. So you got to kind of put all the pieces together.
Exactly.
But still, like we're saying, it is hard to break that myth that margarine is good. But there are hundreds of research articles telling us over and again that the trans fats, so the hydrogenated oils and the partially hydrogenated oils, they will increase your cholesterol. And yet still, if you're watching TV, the products being advertised are being touted as health products. You know, like these, I can't believe it's not butters or the diet sodas.
And again, we hear it over and over. You know, it's really sad that cereal box nutrition or TV nutrition, you know, their bottom line is financial gain for their companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not health for their viewers, basically.
No. And you call that TV nutrition. I call it great marketing.
So I think what we need to do is take another break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company providing therapeutic nutritional counseling for all cardiovascular concerns. The HDL cholesterol is considered the beneficial or the good cholesterol, so you want lots of it. This number should always be above 40, but much better if it's 75 or 80.
Mm-hmm.
I even have a few clients with HDLs that are 100.
Yep.
So how did they achieve such good HDL numbers? Well, first they ate 2 organic eggs cooked in butter every day. They ate cold water, fatty fish like salmon at least a couple of times a week. They replaced high processed carbs with vegetables cooked in olive oil, and they ate no trans fats.
And that's huge.
Yeah. And when we come back, Kathy will share a few key lifestyle habits and supplements that will support HDL production. So if you have questions about cholesterol, call us 651-641-1071.
FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you're just joining us, we're trying to eliminate fears and myths about cholesterol this morning. But TV nutrition would have you believe everyone should be taking a drug to lower cholesterol. As nutritionists, we beg to differ. Real food is the solution. Now, Dar mentioned I was going to talk about some ways to increase those good cholesterol numbers. Remember, we want these numbers high. First of all, I just want to reiterate what Dar said. Cut out those trans fats and the processed fats. So it's mm-hmm. things like corn oil, vegetable oil, processed canola oil. Read your ingredient lists and stay away from those processed fats as well. And then incorporate exercise if you're not doing that already. That can really help to increase those HDL numbers. Exercise somewhere between 20 minutes and an hour every day if you can. Take 3,000 to 4,000 milligrams of fish oil a day if you're finding those HDL numbers are being a little stubborn about increasing. Third, eat enough animal protein. We recommend for the average person somewhere between 12 to 14 ounces of animal protein spread throughout the day. And then for people with really low HDL cholesterol, we add between 1,000 and 2,000 milligrams of L-carnitine. This supplement also helps with weight loss, which we know if we take off weight, our cholesterol numbers can improve as well.
And, you know, the mechanisms for carnitine is that CoQ10, which we're going to talk about later, carries fat into the cells and into the mitochondria of the cell, actually. And then carnitine comes in and burns it. And so we normally would get carnitine from things like sardines and things like that. So people aren't usually having enough carnitine, organ meats, things like that. So people don't eat that. So by taking a supplement for certain people that have these stubborn low HDLs, that works for people, some people. So just some other hints. And we actually had a person, Cassie, that sent us an email asking us, well, what if I'm making popcorn and I'm cooking it in olive oil and I'm putting butter on top of it? Is it still bad? So let's have a little discussion about that.
Yeah, because you'll hear popcorn be touted as a health food too, because it's high in fiber is what people always tell you. Now, it sounds pretty well made to me.
Exactly.
But still, don't overdo it.
Exactly.
And popcorn's easy to overdo.
It is very easy to overdo. Yeah. But we definitely know you don't want to do the microwave popcorn because, you know, if you ever look in those bags, that's full of trans fats and chemicals and things that are really harmful for you. And I see that they are feeding this often at, I've seen it at churches, I've seen it at daycare centers, I've seen it all over, probably at hospitals.
Birthday parties, moms, club groups.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's if you're going to do popcorn, you know, cook it in olive oil or coconut oil and then use real butter on top of it. Maybe have a couple of cups and it's probably okay. But maybe you can stop then with a couple of cups if you've got real butter on it.
Exactly, right, because you'll achieve that balanced blood sugar.
So one of the other things that's always out there about cholesterol is saturated fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say, oh, you can't have saturated fat.
Right, right. And there, again, another myth, and we hear it over and over. And we talk about, you know, eating the butter, eating the unrefined coconut oil, eating red meat, and that has saturated fat. Will that increase cholesterol? We say no.
So looking at what is actually the truth about all that is, well, one of the things we know is trans fats and refined oils increase cholesterol. You know, in a study published in August of 1990, now this is many years ago, the New England Journal of Medicine found that trans fats lowered the protective HDL cholesterol and increased the LDL cholesterol and your total cholesterol. You know, this is just one of the many research studies conducted by Dr. Mary Enig. And Dr. Mary Enig has conducted more research on fats and oils than any other researcher. She is, we call her the queen of fats, but she is the expert on fats and oils, and she's quoted in all kinds of articles. If you, you know, get familiar with her name, you'll see her name all the time as the experts on fats and oils.
And we owe, all of us owe a lot of thanks to her because she's the person behind the movement across this country to label products containing trans fats. Dr. Enig was instrumental in getting the health department in this country to ban trans fats in all restaurants in New York City because of those very harmful effects on people's health.
And it was particularly, they were looking at the harmful effects of the cardiovascular health of people living in New York City. And now they are, isn't that amazing how the influence of one person
is so far reaching.
Yeah. You know, she also found that trans fats convert LDL cholesterol into a dangerous, those sticky particles called lipoproteins, little A's.
Mm-hmm.
Lipoprotein little A is a blood fat that you really need to take seriously. You know, it's called the heart attack cholesterol, and it accumulates around the cracks or the lesions in our blood vessels, and it promotes blood clots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that means that it doesn't happen if you're not eating trans fats.
Right, right.
So there's a big connection there.
So read your ingredient list, try to eat mostly real foods, but when you do have a boxed food in front of you, read for those partially hydrogenated or hydrogenated oils, because you can't just see trans fats zero on the nutrition facts label and think that it has no trans fats, because they're hidden in there.
Mm-hmm.
1/3 of heart disease patients have this elevated lipoprotein A, and this carries a 300% increased risk of a heart attack. And if you want that extensive study done, you can have them break down your blood into the lipoprotein components, mm-hmm. into the different LDL components, so you know actually how much of your LDL is this really bad kind, which is the lipoprotein A. But again, a 300% increase in a risk of a heart attack. What is the main cause? Dar said it, I've said it already, trans fats. So those muffins you're buying at the bakery, the French fries, the cookies, the margarine, those are the things to cut out.
So we're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. As nutritionists, we believe that what you put in your mouth is the foundation of all your health. In our country, there seems to be a disconnect from what we eat to our health. Or why would there be 33.5 million older Americans taking cholesterol-lowering drugs? That's almost 34 million older Americans. Mm. Even more interesting, for the past 30 years, people have been on a low-fat diet. But the number of prescriptions for cholesterol meds continue to rise. So could it be that we've been given the wrong message? I believe research clearly tells us that the low-fat message was wrong, and to get cholesterol under control without expensive medications, we need to eat only healthy fats like olive oil, butter, nuts, avocados, and stop with those high fructose corn syrup and trans fat products, you know, which puts stress on your liver and increases our liver's production of these unhealthy cholesterols, and our numbers go up. So, interesting facts.
Mm-hmm.
So, our number here is 651-641-1071, and we'll be back in a minute.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienis, registered dietitian, and I'm here this morning with Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and we're sharing important information about cholesterol. Now, if you're currently taking cholesterol-lowering medications, you want to listen up. It's very important for those people taking cholesterol-lowering medications to add a powerful antioxidant called coenzyme Q10, or you'll hear it called CoQ10 for short. Now, normally, we produce CoQ10 in our bodies, mainly in our liver, but those statin drugs, those cholesterol-lowering drugs, block our body's production of CoQ10, and that leaves us at risk for a lot of not-so-great side effects. Some of these side effects that we've seen are fatigue, muscle aches, and a weak heart muscle. So if you're listening and you're currently taking a statin medication, we recommend you add 100 to 200 milligrams of a good-quality CoQ10. A usable form of CoQ10 is always in an oil form, and it's usually delivered in just a small, soft gel cap. The powdered form is very ineffective, so be on the lookout. You want the soft gel, and that is going to be absorbable by your body.
You know, we've got a couple of callers, Kathy, but one thing that I want to cover before we go to a couple of callers is we were talking about, before break, we were talking about how trans fats and refined oils will increase your LDL cholesterol and decrease your good HDL cholesterol. But one of the things we keep going back and people asking us about saturated fat, because that always comes up. And so as I was getting ready for the show, I looked through a lot of the research, and I could not find one study that was just about saturated fat, that just butter, coconut oil, and how it would increase LDL cholesterol.
Isn't that interesting?
Every study included trans fats and saturated fats.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and so, and I find this in our clinical practice, don't you? That, you know, it's like once we take people off of all this processed carbs, which means they're probably getting, you know, partially hydrogenated fat.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, their cholesterol normalizes.
Well, and the other part of that is, not to get into too much science, but all those processed carbohydrates leads to excessive levels of the hormone insulin in your body. And insulin is needed to make this sticky blood or to make your high cholesterol numbers. So there's a couple of things going on.
I mean, there's a lot of different mechanisms that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to clear that up for people. So we're going to take a couple of calls. Olivia, good morning. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Good morning. I had a quick question backing up to when you were talking about artificial sweeteners.
Mm-hmm.
Is stevia have the same effects as the other artificial sweeteners?
No, it doesn't seem to. It seems to be a very healthy product. Now, when you're looking at stevia, you want the real stuff. Now, there's some companies that are coming in. Cassie,
I think it's called Truvia is the one that I've seen. It's basically a processed stevia, and they've added some other chemicals. So, yeah, just be sure you're just getting pure stevia, which is just a natural plant.
Yes.
Okay.
And you don't use very much. You just use a little bit because it's very
very
sweet, very potent, yes.
Okay.
So, okay, thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. So let's take another caller here. We have a... Good morning, Linda. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question about cholesterol.
Yes, I do. I'm wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about family history, the genetics, and for women who, once they go through menopause, what hormones do to the cholesterol readings.
Well, you know, let me address the one on genetics, because I am a perfect example of genetics because I'm from a family with lots of heart disease, you know, cholesterol issues, high blood pressure, all those things. So I have those strong genetics. So I think for us, you know, people like myself, we have to eat more carefully. I have a ban. I do not eat trans fats. If the product has trans fats in it, I do not eat it. I don't care. It could look like the most wonderful thing in the whole world. But I do not eat those. And I think you have to make some kind of a commitment to yourself that this is for my health and for my longevity. I don't eat those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so for, you know, for a lot of us, we just have to be very, very cautious and about our nutrition because we do have that genetic predisposition. But again, you know, the research shows that our genetics carry 10%. What we put in our mouth is 90%.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep trying to remember that. And I think what happens is genetics provide some excuses for some people.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's my genetic problem. But it's a food problem.
Yeah. I think it was Dr. Phil, so this isn't coming straight from my brain, but he said genetics will determine who you can be, but they do not determine who you will be.
Exactly.
It's up to you.
Yeah. So.
But, you know, what about homocysteine? Do you want to mention that with Linda?
Okay.
If there is some genetic history?
So there is an amino acid that we get every time we eat any meat or dairy products or, you know, anything that has protein in it. And it's called homocysteine. And some people genetically do lack the ability to break it down. And so everyone should be tested for that. So if that number is high, it actually turns into a free radical that can damage our blood vessels. And then if our blood vessels are damaged, our cholesterol starts making more cholesterol because it's going out to repair that damaged blood vessel.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there is that connection. So, you know, those are some of the things that we cover in our weight and wellness classes. We try to explain this so that people honestly know what they need to be careful of and why they need to be careful of those things. So I went on and on about that, didn't I? Now you have a question. You had another question about menopause. That's a great question.
Yes.
What happens at menopause?
I hang up and listen.
All right, thank you. I think I got on the soapbox.
No, but that was good. There's just not any one answer.
No, there isn't.
Cholesterol, obviously.
But let's go ahead. She had a question about what happens at menopause with cholesterol.
Right, and I know you're wanting me to take this, but you always word it so much better, Lee. I can never, but it's something to do with when we reach menopause, so our hormone levels start to shut down, and we make our female hormones from cholesterol. So when your body starts to recognize that, oh my gosh, estrogen's falling, progesterone's falling, it starts spitting out more cholesterol, thinking that it's trying to help your body get those hormone levels back up to par, which just isn't going to happen.
That's right. And that happens temporarily. So it may happen for 3 or 4 years that I see women's cholesterol numbers going up at that time because it's saying, make more hormones, and it doesn't. But then as you get into a later stage in menopause, then they even out and they drop down again.
Okay, so, now that's new to me.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Just kind of see good. If you can ride the wave a little bit.
Exactly. So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. On May 27th, Wednesday night in Woodbury, Kristen Gunderson will be teaching Jumpstart Your Metabolism at the Uplift Women's Fitness Studio. And that is in Woodbury, and it's in the same building that the Foss Swimming School, and they teach swimming to lots of kids, including my granddaughters, Willow and Cedar.
All fun.
So if you are interested in that class, that's on May 27th, just call 651-773-0000, and Cheryl or Shirley will be registering you for that class. Now, neato is that you can catch Kristen this Monday morning at about 8:45 on Fox 9 News, and she's going to talk about beverages that support your health and those that kind of destroy it. So I bet she'll be talking more about that.
About the trans fats and the high fructose corn syrup. That's going to be a good one. I think it'll be an eye-opener for people, so tune in.
So when we come back, Cassie's going to talk about some other things that she's been doing this week, and we're going to answer a few more questions. So we'll be back in a minute.
FM 107.1.
Yeah.
Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Teaching and counseling about nutrition is really a lot more than a job for me. And some of you that have listened to me on the radio have maybe gotten that, but it's certainly nice to have a job in today's market, don't get me wrong, but nutrition is really a passion of mine and has been for a long, long time. And I would say it's a passion for everyone involved with nutritional weight and wellness. And I just wanted to take a minute and share a few of the opportunities that I've had in the past couple weeks that have allowed me to talk about my passions. I wrote an article for My Healthy Beginnings called The ABCs of Back to School Nutrition that's coming out in the July issue. Look for that. I presented our stress-busting foods class to Data Recognition Corporation in Maple Grove. What a wonderful group of people they have there. Dar gave me the wonderful opportunity of being on Fox 9 Morning News twice this past month, talking about healthy and unhealthy foods.
So if you want to book an appointment with Cassie, call our office at 651-699-3438, or you can even book an appointment to have them come out to see you at your company.
Yep, love to give those group presentations.
Okay, thank you, Cassie.